Amazing blessing. So let me see those hands real quick. Let me just, now hold them up. Now if you're single, okay, only if you're single, look around. Look around there. We don't need no eHarmony. We got CCC Harmony here. You know, as we talk about relationships and we talk about marriages, I know many a times, especially that Valentine's is coming up, some of you kind of feel left out, but don't, okay? Like I mentioned, it's a good thing, and the Lord's got his plan. And whenever I do talk about relationships, especially marriage, what typically happens is there becomes tension in the room. People don't want to open up. They don't want to discuss their issues or whatever it is that they're dealing with. There's always resistance because many times people think, well, you don't know what's going on in my marriage. You don't know how she is. You don't know how she gets. Or you don't know how he reacts to certain things. So people put up resistance. And yeah, because marriage is hard. And being in relationships is tough. And numbers don't lie. Every single year, it's the same thing. The statistics show. Of all marriages, 50% of them will fail. 50% will end up in divorce. And then a lot of people think, well, if I get remarried, then I'll learn from the first marriage and things will get a whole lot better. But then the statistics show it gets even worse. It's like a 70% failure rate. And you get married a third time, it gets even worse than that. But I believe we can change that. I believe we can change that. How? Well, you know, Harvard, they did a study on 1,250 couples, okay? 1,250 couples. And out of those couples, only one ended up in divorce. And through this study, they found out that these married couples did three things. Three things. Very simple things. You want to know what they were? They prayed together, discussed the Bible together, and attended church together. They took the time out of their busy schedules, because we're all busy, they took the time out of their busy schedules to do those three things together. The success of their relationships skyrocketed. And that's my prayer for us. That the strong community that God is building right here in our church would start at home. And that all of us here, we wouldn't just have good marriages, good relationships. We'd have successful ones. We'd have successful relationships. So let's do that. Let's discuss God's word together. Let's dive into his word. And let's see how love strikes back so we can balance out the force. All right, 1 Peter, if you got your Bibles, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. We'll have the scriptures up on screen and also on your bulletin. We've kind of pieced them out, but you open up your Bibles, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. Look what it says there. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves. That word right there, submit, brings a cringe. Submit yourselves to your husband so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. And then when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty shouldn't come from this outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, wearing gold jewelry, and fine clothes. Rather, it should be of your inner self, this unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. If you look at it this way, the holy women of the past who put their hope not in men, not in their spouse, not in anybody else, they put their hope in God. That's how they used to adorn themselves. And they submitted themselves to their own husbands, like, for example, Sarah. She obeyed Abraham, called him Lord. And if you are her daughters, if you want to follow in her footsteps, then you got to do what is right. And don't give way to fear. And he says, husbands, in the same way, just what we went over, in the same way, and also be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of this gracious gift of life, so that nothing would hinder your prayers. Now, right off the bat, that word, submit. It has this negative feel to it. It has a negative vibe, a negative connotation. Here we are, we're fighting for control, we're fighting for power, we're fighting to gain an advantage, and yet this verse tells us to allow someone else to become above us so that we can be underneath them. And it just has this negative feel to it. You even look up the word in the dictionary, submission. You know what? Not a negative thing, not a positive thing. Look what it says. All negative. Check it out. To back down, to bend to another person's will, to comply, to lower yourself, to give in, to yield to a superior person's will. Not one positive phrase. And so when we read this, naturally, we're thinking, hey, that's in the Bible. Maybe that's just old time thing. Maybe that worked for our great, 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 great grandma and our great, great grandpa. But that's not here and now. That doesn't work these days. And so the word submission has gotten a bad rap, but I want to give you a better definition in a biblical sense. Submission is having the courage, it's having the guts to give up my rights to meet another person's need. In this case, our spouse. It's saying, hey, I don't have to have it my way all the time. It's having this ability to be unselfish. And that, I believe, is the key to having a successful relationship. Because see, we can live this life three basic ways as we live together. We could be people pleasers and just constantly do what everyone else wants, whatever pleases them. We can pull a Frank Sinatra, do it my way. Many of you, for most of your life, you've been living it this way, and it ain't working. So there's another way we can approach this, and that's God's way. Yes, that consists of looking out for ourselves, but it also is looking out for the interest of others and doing it in the wisdom and balance of God. And the best way that we can achieve this balance is to submit to one another, to be unselfish. So I want to give you three reasons why we should be unselfish. Like I mentioned before, I want you all to participate with me. So in the past month, okay, this last month, if you've gotten into a conflict, a fight with your spouse, would you raise your hand? I'm raising my hand. This past month. This past week. I'm still raising my hand. How many of you on your way to church, you got in a fight with your spouse? Wise man. Back in Texas, you know, it was about a 15-minute drive to church. And anytime it was going to be a talk on marriage, there we were on the way, just bam, 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 bam. Thankfully here, I'm like 30 seconds. I live 30 seconds away. There ain't no time for that. Many of you think, huh, the pastor, you fight with your wife? Yes, we do. In fact, you know, there have been times where, man, we've gotten into some pretty bad ones. We've gotten into fights where I've literally had Rose on her hands and her knees. And she's just looking under the bed and she's like, come out and fight, you sissy. What are you doing down there? We all have conflicts. You want to know one of the main reasons why we have conflicts? If you're taking notes, selfishness is the source of conflict. Look at James 4:1. You know where your fights and arguments are coming from? This selfish desire that rages within you. It says your conflicts, your arguments, your fights, they all boil down to this. Someone, somehow, is being selfish in some way. In our arguments, it's always what the other person did or didn't do. They don't make me happy. They don't meet my needs. It's always what they could have, should have done for me. It's basically being selfish. So if we want to fight for our marriages rather than fight in it, then we've got to be willing to start with, hey, what's wrong with me? What do I need to change? What do I need to work on? It's making the strong commitment that I will fight for my marriage, not fight in marriage, because you can't do both. And the way that we do this is to be selfless rather than selfish. That's when change takes place. So you want to write that down. Unselfishness is the secret to change. Unselfishness is the secret to change. I can say this with all the confidence in the world. Every lady here, whether it's your boyfriend or husband, there is something that you want to change about him, and he ain't changing. Bad habits, things that he does when he, whatever it may be, there are certain things that just you want to change, and you've even had discussions about it. And he even said, okay, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to change. And he still hasn't changed. This next verse is going to show you how you can make that transformation happen. Yes, ladies, even in the most stubborn of men. Verse 1. Be submissive so that if any of them don't even believe in the word, they will be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. How amazing is that? That the most amazing change can take place without words. Because see, he doesn't say, ladies, hey, you want to win your man over? Nag at him till it happens. Hey, you want things to happen? Scream your head off, get real crazy. That'll win him over. And he doesn't say, hey, the only way to make change happen is to be real controlling. He says, be submissive. And if you do, you will win him over. He will change. The verse says, you can even change them to the point where they become followers of Jesus. And you know what? I have seen this take place in many occasions. And one I want to share with you in specific. And we were Christmas Eve service. But before then, there was this lady almost every single Sunday would come up right after service and ask that we pray for her husband. And she would be in tears almost every Sunday. I just want him to experience what God can really do in his life. And, you know, he had some issues with church before and he's just been hurt. And he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. I mean, he doesn't have a problem with me coming, but he doesn't want to even just show up. And it hurts me. It hurts me that we're not worshiping together. We're not growing together. It just hurts me. Would you pray for my husband? And almost every Sunday for over a year, we would pray. Christmas Eve service. Gentleman comes up, starts telling me how, you know, how the service really spoke to him, and he started asking all sorts of questions. We had a second floor, so we said, hey, well, come up, because there's a lot of noise. So we went upstairs, and there was another guy with me, and there we were just answering these questions. We opened up some verses in the Bible, and right there and then, he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And afterwards, I said, hey, man, so How did you get here? Because I'm just going to be upfront with you. We've been praying for the longest time for you to be. What got you to come here? You know what he told me? He said, there has been a change in my wife with me, with my little girl. And I have seen such an amazing difference that I would think, man, what is going on over there? Like, keep going. But then I started to ask, I want to see for myself what's happening, because this change is incredible. And there he was. Gave his life to Jesus. Ladies, one of the most powerful tools you have at your disposal is to be submissive. It'll encourage your man to grow, and it'll encourage your man to change. Look, if you're still doubting about, okay, submitting, think about Jesus. What did he come to do? To serve. How many lives has Jesus changed? Not by force. I think about it in your own life. Who has had the greatest impact for good in your own personal life? Was it someone who was extremely selfish? Unselfishness is the secret to change. And number three, it tells us, selfishness will short circuit your prayer. If you're selfish, it's going to put up a wall, not only between you and your spouse, but it's also going to put walls between you and God. Look at verse 7. Do this so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It says, be unselfish so that your life with God would not be hindered. See, the Lord ain't going to listen to your prayers if it's all about me, what's good for me. And so the three reasons why we should be unselfish are, it avoids frivolous conflicts. We see amazing change in our spouse, in our partner, and then it opens up our communications with God. So if we all want in, if we all want to have success in our relationships, question then becomes, what are the requirements to be unselfish? First, consider the needs of the other person. In other words, be understanding. Okay? Be understanding. You know, in premarital counseling, when we used to do this, there'd be three questions that we would ask the couples there, and to name three things their future spouse likes to do most. Three things, just three things their future spouse likes to do most. You know what? About 99% of the time, women always get it right. Oh, well, you know, my future fiance or my boyfriend, oh, they love to golf, or they love to watch football, or they love to hang out with the boys. I mean, everything, they were just always spot on. And then we'd ask the guys, and they'd be like, shop? Women be shopping? I don't know. What do you like to do? I mean, that it never get it right. Fellas, we've got to grow in understanding of our partners. Look at that verse 7. Husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way. We've got to be understanding. And let me tell you, I've had people, oh, well, you don't know how she gets. You can't understand her. The way she reacts, the way she gets. No, man. And I'm like, well, maybe you just need to be a little bit more patient and just kind of listen. But no, dude, you don't understand her. She's crazy. And I kind of look at him. I'm like, yeah, I know she's crazy. You see it too? Yeah, she married you. She's crazy. We've got to be understanding as husbands. You want to know a great way to do this? We got to develop the skill of listening. Not the skill of fixing everything, because I know we're good at that. Oh, we try and fix relationships and try and fix this. No, no. Let's develop the skill of being great listeners. Let me show you three ways. I need this too, okay? First, we have to be willing to work at it. Listening does not come natural for us. And look, I've developed this skill too, and I'm just going to let the ladies know because it'll help us work at developing our listening skills. Rose can come up to me, and she can start telling me all sorts of things, and I could be watching the news, or I could be reading a book, and she looks at me and says, "You're not even listening to me." And I just developed the skill of, "Yeah, I am. Well, what did I say?" And I could repeat every single word that she said. But I'm not really listening. We've got to work at that. Another way we develop this skill is to let them express it in their own way. Fellas, has your wife ever been telling you a story and you're in mind, you're thinking, get to the point. Does that happen? I need help with this one because, you know, I could be in a meeting or something and I get a text, you know. Oh, I get a, "Hey, call me. It's an emergency." Rose will text me, "Call me immediately. I need to talk to you. It's an emergency." I'm like, "Oh, shoot. So excuse me, guys. I got to make this phone call." So I call and I'm, "Hello? What's wrong? What's going on?" "So, you know how I told you that my mom was going to pick me up for lunch?" "Yeah." "Well, so she comes and, you know, she's waiting outside for a little while and she gets agitated and I walk in and the car and I don't like the music that she's listening to. So I'll change the station. And I'm glad that I did because when I changed the station, that good remix, you know, Cash Me Outside came out and I really liked that remix. Like, it was great." And then, so all this time I'm thinking, what is the emergency? But I don't say it. I'm just thinking, and I'm like, "Oh, okay." So we're driving fast, and my mom drives worse than you. So she's swerving, and then I notice on her gas gauge, it's empty. And I'm like, "Mom, you got to put some gas." And we stop at a stoplight, and a car rams us from behind. And I'm like, "Could you have not just said that we got rear-ended and I need some help?" Can't do that. We got to let them tell us in their own way. That's how it makes sense to her. We have to let them express it in their own way. And not only this, but we also have to make eye contact. Many of you, after the service, are going to go have lunch. I want you to do this, okay? I want you to scope out the restaurant. Scope out the tables. You know what you're going to see? You already know. For the whole time there, you'll see him like this. Occasionally, you'll see this. Like a better conversation right here than what's happening here. Put the phones down. Baylor discovered this is becoming the silent killer in all relationships. They call it phone snubbing. And if you're doing this, slowly but surely, you are destroying your relationship. Put the phones down. Let's make eye contact. It lets her know that she matters to you. It lets her know that you care. Let's develop the skill of listening. Second requirement for being unselfish: honor the value of the other person. This is where we get the word respect. Verse 3-4. "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, wearing gold jewelry, fine clothes. Instead, it should be this inner self, this unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit." Now, is Peter saying, "Hey, Maybelline, MAC, CoverGirl, stay away from that. That is evil." Is he saying that? Heck no. I thank God for makeup. Well, hold on. It helps me to realize how naturally beautiful my wife is. Okay, let me straighten that out. Does this say, "Hey, ladies, don't wear jewelry, and if you're going to wear clothes, only wear turtlenecks and overalls"? No. And if dressing sexy for my wife were wrong, then I wouldn't want her to be right. It just says that some people, that's all they concern themselves with. It's all about outward appearances. It's all about lifts, tucks, sucks, implants. And Peter is saying, hey, he's challenging the women. He's saying, hey, instead of constantly cultivating this outward appearance, nurture your inner self. Do it to the point where it creates a gentle and a quiet spirit. Ladies, let me ask you this. Do you have a quiet and gentle spirit? And would you be willing to improve your inner self till you get it? Because I believe that us men can appreciate a wife that creates a refuge from all the stresses of this life. And I know, I get it. I know many of you are thinking, easy for him to say. If he only knew. If he only knew how he talks to me. If he only knew how he, when he gets drunk, how he gets and how he reacts. If he only knew how he's an absent husband, he's an absent dad, he's never around, then he would see having this calm and gentle spirit ain't going to work. It's just not. Peter's two steps ahead of you. He says, it is possible. And he gives an example of who did this. He says, hey, you think you have it bad? You think it's impossible? Well, then let's look at Abraham's wife, Sarah. He says, like Sarah, she submitted, she obeyed Abraham, even called him her Lord. And you're thinking, ha, yeah, well, if Abraham was my husband, I'd call him Lord too. Well, you think Abraham was this all-American 100% gentleman? He wasn't. I mean, he even lied about their relationship to others on various occasions. Think about this. Imagine you going to a company party, and you're running late. And you walk into the building, then you see your husband. He's surrounded by several co-workers. They're women, and they're just laughing and having this grand old time, and you don't think anything of it. And you just, hey, honey, I'm sorry I'm running late. And he looks over to you and says, oh, hey, guys, meet my sister, Sarah. Hey, Sarah, come on. This is my sister I was talking to you about. Oh, hey, wait, Sarah, hold on. Let me introduce you to the CEO. Come on. Hey, boss, remember I was talking to you about that promotion? Remember I was talking to you about my sister? Here she is. She's hot, isn't she? Here, you guys talk in the meeting room. I'll be back. How would that make you feel? It gets even worse. Do I need to go further? I can. Imagine not being able to have a child. And you're getting to that age where it's just not going to happen anymore. And out of nowhere, he has a child with a housekeeper. And yet, you don't see her calling him cheat, loser, joke, liar. No matter how difficult it was for her, she instead called him what he could be. She called him Lord. She called him a noble leader. She focused on his potential rather than his shortcomings. And you know what ended up happening? He became just that. He became an amazing man of God. Ladies, we as men, we need that kind of encouragement. There's not a man in this room who doesn't. I mean, you show me a man whose wife believes in him, and I'll show you a guy who thinks he can conquer the world. We need that. Show honor, even when he's being unhonorable. And I know I'm getting this look from the ladies. I brought him. I'm getting there. I'm getting to the guys. Verse 7. Likewise, there it is. Husbands, give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Gentlemen, we've got to honor our wives in every way. Financially, shower her with gifts. Send those unexpected roses. Do things for her. Honor her spiritually. Honor her as the leader of the home. Honor her verbally. Don't throw the nasty nicknames. Don't raise the voice. Don't do the threats. And some of you guys would say, hey, I would never hit a woman. You hit, beat her down with your words? Peter says, honor her, treat her like the weaker vessel. And that's a good thing. It's like if you're late at night, you hear some noise, someone kind of breaking in. Who do you want to go check? Want the guy, right? Although I need work on this. It's true. There have been times where I've heard noises. Babe, go check. She gets mad. I've done it. You got to honor her as a weaker vessel. Think of it this way. Women are like a goblet. Just so dainty and fragile and pretty. And you just got to, you even got to hold it like, you can't slam down goblets. You know, you don't do that. You got to hold them very gently. And guys, they're like a mule mug. You're going to drop it, kick it around. It'll dent, but you know what? It gives it a cool effect. Haven't washed it, smells, I'll still drink out of it. Guys are like mule mugs. Women are like a goblet. There's even a special place where we put these, right? We don't put it with all the other glasses because then it'll crack. That's how Peter's saying we need to treat our ladies with, be gentle in our approach. Honor them. Protect them as a weaker vessel. Third way, we grow in our relationships. Act on behalf of the other person. This is the word, sacrifice. There's a huge difference between unselfish words, unselfish actions. Verse 1, it says, your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. And we all know this. Actions speak louder than words. We know this. So look at 1 John 3:18. Let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. For us guys, myself included, you know what we do? We miss out on the small opportunities to do great sacrifices for our partners and for our families. How do we do this? See, the challenge, this is how we think of it. When this is a big emergency or something major, then that's when I'll step in and that's when I'll make major sacrifices for my wife. But it'll have to be that one big thing. That's just kind of an excuse to not do anything. The challenge is to continually do it with the smaller things. The challenge is to constantly make the little sacrifices because it's in the smallest way you show your greatest appreciation for your partner. But you know what holds us back? Both sides. It's fear. To be unselfish, this is the last point, to be unselfish, we have to let go of our fear. Verse 6, do what is right and do not give way to fear. Why does he say that? Well, here's what tends to happen. Both ways. Some of us are in a relationship and we know in our hearts there are certain things that we need to do in our approach and the way we need to handle it, but sometimes there's a fear of saying, well, if I stand my ground and do what is right, I'm going to lose this partner. He's saying, don't give way to that fear. And also, if you're married, here's where the fear comes in. I don't want to submit, because if I submit, he's going to take advantage. If I submit, he's going to start doing all sorts of things, or she's going to start doing some things, and I'm going to get trampled, and I'm going to get abused, and nobody likes to look like a fool in front of friends and family. And so what happens is we start to build up these walls that are created by fear, and it puts it right in between us and our partner and right between us and God. But if we really want to break down those walls and get close and intimate with each other, it says, get past your fears. How do we do this? 1 John 4:18. We don't need to have any fear Why so? We already have someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. He says, you overcome this fear by finding someone who loves you perfectly. That person is Jesus. See, many couples go into relationships thinking, my partner is going to meet all my needs. And then after years and years, they find out it ain't happening. Why? Because two imperfect people don't make a perfect relationship. And in order to be able to love an imperfect person, you first have to receive this perfect love from God. You know, one of these great ministers that I was reading about had done just incredible things. Everything he touched, success. Everywhere, success. He was this incredible, famous minister. There was one thing he couldn't get right. It was his marriage. And so what happened was he sought out one of the greatest, possibly, marital counselors in even the world. And because who he was, he immediately got in. And so there he was. He sat down with his counselor, okay? And he starts going into his deal. Hey, man, you know, I came from a broken home. There was even a point in my life where I was taking care of my siblings. And I lived a destructive life, got into drugs, got into all sorts of things. And then I found Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. I got involved in ministry. And then look at all these things. God's blessing this and God's blessing this. And he's blessing all sorts of areas of my ministry, but I can't seem to get my marriage right. You know what the counselor responded? He said, I'm not impressed by how much you tell me that you love God. I'm not even impressed by you saying, oh, well, Lord's blessing this, and I've got all this going on, my ministries. He said, I would, however, be impressed if you would be able to articulate how much you knew that God loved you. Now, why would the counselor respond in this way? Well, if we're not able to get an understanding of how God perfectly loves us, we're not going to be able to love anybody else. And it's when you allow the amazing love of Christ to fill up every pain, every hurt, when you allow Jesus to satisfy the desires of your heart, that is when you're going to be able to love without fear, because Scripture is clear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Ain't nothing out there like the perfect love of Jesus. And once you receive it, then you will start to be able to love people back in a healthy way, in a balanced way, in a successful way. This is how we will have our successful relationships. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for your word and your wisdom and how you want nothing more than for us to have amazing relationships, amazing marriages, Lord. They speak volumes to those that are lost. They speak volumes to those that are in constant conflict and hurt and pain, and they're looking for hope and they're looking for something different. And it's by the success, it's by the health of our relationships that we can express that to others. And so I pray, Lord, for every couple here, for every married couple here, I pray for every family here, that you would build strong, healthy, vibrant, loving relationships. That what happens here is just a small preview of what's happening at home. We know you can do this. We know you have the strength, the wisdom, and the power to convict, to change hearts that need to be changed in whatever area. We lift this all up to you, Jesus. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here. If anyone would like prayer, there'd be several of us that love to pray for you. Maybe there's a praise or something that you want to share with us. Have a great week. God bless you all.